You know, the Spirit of God has different demonstrations. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is today. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's just see a few things in God's word. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, the laying on of hands is a doctrine, but beyond that, a practice in scripture. In the Great Commission, as we call it, he says, you shall lay hands on the sick. Mark 16:18. And the sick shall recover. But that was not the only basis for laying on of hands. The first time we see hands laid in scripture is in Genesis 48, from verse 14 to about 16, 17, 18, thereabout, where Jacob lays hands on the sons of Joseph. He laid his hands on them and he pronounced the blessing. Then much later, in Numbers 27, we see Moses laid hands on Joshua. And the Bible records that Joshua was full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. Full of wisdom. So like in Deuteronomy 34 verse 9, he says, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. In other words, that means a laying on of hands is what we can call in today's language an impartation. An impartation. God had called Joshua, but he asked Moses to lay hands on him. It was when Moses laid hands on him that Joshua was full of wisdom to lead. To lead. I told you there are things to learn and there are things to receive. Hallelujah. That's how it works in scripture. Now if you look at the book of Acts very well, the book of Acts is full of laying on of hands. It's filled with it. The book of Acts. The first time you're going to see Acts 6 verse 5 and 6. When they chose deacons to serve with the apostles. The Bible says they laid hands on all of them. They laid hands on them. The apostles laid hands on them and put them before the people. Then in chapter 8, two chapters after, we see Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ. Now, listen carefully to that. He preached Christ, people were born again, and many were healed. And verse 14 says, when the apostles received the word, they heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent down Peter and John that they might pray for them and that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For he was falling on none of them, only that they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, in verse 18 and 19, we now recall that a man by the name of Simon the sorcerer saw that through the hands of the apostles, through the hands, the Holy Ghost was given. Through the hands of the apostles, the Holy Ghost was given. In other words, that means they ministered a lot by laying hands. Now, again, we're going to see it in chapter 9, where Ananias was sent to the house of Saul of Tarsus, to Saul of Tarsus. He laid his hands on him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. He laid his hands on him that he might be filled with the Holy Ghost. So we have Acts 6:6. We have Acts 8 verse 14 and 15 through to 19. We also now have Acts 9:15 and 16 through 17. Now, the interesting thing about that is just a chapter after, we have the record of a man by the name of Cornelius who had the Holy Ghost come on him without Peter laying hands at all. Just like Acts 2:1-4. Same thing. That's why Peter said, just as at the beginning, Acts 11 verse 17. So we have, that is, the Holy Ghost fell on people without anyone laying hands. But the Holy Ghost also fell on people because hands were laid. But notice the one that is more consistent. More consistent of the two. Now in Acts 13, we have in the church in Antioch of certain prophets and teachers, including Paul and Barnabas, in verse 2, and the Holy Ghost spoke to them and said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work where I've called them. What now happened in verse 3? The brethren laid hands on them and sent them away. They laid hands on them. The next chapter again, Acts 14, verse 22 and 23. Paul went to the elders of the churches and they fasted, prayed, and laid hands on them again. So we have that so consistent. So consistent. It's so consistent. Acts 19. Acts 19. In verse 5. Now verse 2, when Paul came to the coast of Ephesus now, it says to his disciples and he asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost you should believe? And then they said, we've not heard, will there be any Holy Ghost? So what then, to what then were you baptized? Then to John's baptism. Said, well, John verily baptized, the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him that should come after him. That is on Jesus Christ. Verse 5 says, when they heard these words, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. In verse 6, Paul now went ahead and laid his hands on them. And the Holy Ghost came on them. So look at the consistency. He laid his hands on them and the Holy Ghost came on them. So we have a consistent pattern. Now if you go to the epistles, Paul reminds Timothy twice. In 1 Timothy 4:14, it says, stir up, no, neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by the laying on of the hands, by prophecy, pardon me, and the laying on of hands of the elders. So consistent. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 6, stir up the gift which was given thee by the laying on of my hands. So which means, we have laying on of the hands for the sick, like Jesus did in Luke 40, 4 verse 40, he laid hands on the sick. In Luke 13:13, he laid hands on that woman who was bent over. The woman who was bound, he laid hands on her. But we also found Jesus in Matthew 19, lay hands to bless people. He just laid hands to bless people. He just laid hands on them. So laying on of hands, therefore, communicates spiritual realities. Spiritual realities. The sick are healed. The instructions of God's Spirit are passed across. There's a stirring of the Spirit going on. People are set in the work of the ministry. People are also full of the Holy Ghost. Or they receive what we call the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Either way we look at it, laying on of hands communicates spiritual realities. It does. It communicates spiritual realities. Years ago, 27 years ago, so yeah. I remember at 26, I stopped laying hands on people. Why did I stop it? I said I felt that it was being abused. Some folks were just laying hands carelessly. There's some of us like that. We stop healthy practices because of extremes. You can't stop extremes. You will always have extremes. Jesus had disciples who used swords. You can't stop extremes. But you see, an extreme is not the reason why you should not do what you should do. I was talking to somebody a couple of days ago. I said, look, you can't box God in the corner. I said, in Acts 10, God showed someone a vision who needed salvation to go and call someone who preached to him. I said, today, people are still having revelations and they will get born again. Our job is to pray out those manifestations. Our job is to pray out those manifestations. See, the Holy Ghost wants to move in many ways than you think. Than you think. Extremes should not box us into a corner. Like Brother Hagin will say, I'd rather have wildfire than no fire at all. Dr. Fred Price says, well, if there's no fire, start something. Just start something. The church cannot be without fire. Just start something. Hallelujah. Oftentimes, you know, and all of us, we've gotten to one extreme or the other. I mean, but the truth is that, start somewhere. So, we shouldn't talk down on those things. Not at all. So that, yeah, I stopped it. The Lord now asked me, why did you stop? I said, well, look at this person, they abused it. He said, well, you are walking in disobedience because it's in my word, and I asked you to do it. So because somebody has abused it, doesn't mean you should not do it or use it. Now, today, for example, some people, they glorify maybe a bottle of oil, maybe water. Now, some of us now, we can't pray into water. Well, I'll pray into anything for the sick to get healed. Hallelujah. But the difference is, I won't call the water anything. Hallelujah. See, we are open to the move of the Holy Ghost. We are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. We are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. See, in the days we are, we'll pray so much that, listen, someone will receive salvation because we pray. And you know how it's going to happen? The person will have an encounter with God. God is revealing himself in Muslim nations. Yes. Islamic nations. They will see Jesus. They will call for a preacher. They get born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's more eager for people to get born again than you are. Hallelujah. So don't say, well, how can somebody, you are still thinking, how can somebody be born again? He just saw a vision. He didn't hear the gospel. Just sit there. When he's born again, remove eternal life from his spirit. As Peter yet spoke, no room for ushers. The Holy Ghost fell. The Holy Ghost fell. Who loves the Holy Ghost to fall here? I love the Holy Ghost to fall. So I don't box him into a corner. Amen. So in your city, in your nation, in your town, in your country, be open to the move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. See, no critic can stop me. Because I don't care about critics. What people are not up on, they're down on. If they don't know something, they begin to criticize it. See, the moving of the Holy Ghost. I remember years ago, and this is very important. My mom and I used to battle a lot about my call to ministry. So one day she just woke me up. She said, you know what happened today? I said, what? She said, God, the Lord Jesus appeared to me and told me about you. She said, that was a major breakthrough for me. Did you get it? And that was my revelation. That was my revelation. We are open to the move of the Holy Ghost. Somebody will now say, God doesn't appear to anybody again. It's the written word. See your mouth. The written word speaks of that appearance. Hallelujah. The written word speaks of that appearance. So in our churches, in our nations, we are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was going to listen to Christ one day. I said, I used to say after me. Then the guy started speaking in tongues. I said, I wanted to say, stop. Say after me, I said, stop what? He's born again. Hallelujah. We're open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. So laying on of hands can make available diverse things. People can be in a trance. Paul had this encounter, couldn't see with his eyes. Hands were laid, the thing lifted. The thing lifted. Men were set in ministry. Deacons, associate pastors, Acts 6. They were just there serving food. Hands were laid on them. Stephen immediately started preaching. Is there something in you? 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 Philip went down to Samaria to preach Christ. Something is there. Now let me tell you something about laying on hands. You may not feel anything immediately. No. Sometimes you could. But let me tell you, something happened. Hallelujah. Something happened. Something happened. And me, I am called to do this. Hallelujah. I've been doing it for how many years? Hallelujah. I'm called to do this. Amen. You know, I had this business partner that told me years ago, in 2004 or so, he said, just moving close to you, I just feel like I'm called to preach the gospel. I said, it's a call on my life. Hallelujah. If I get close to you, you will serve God. You will serve God. Hallelujah. Those who never thought they would preach the gospel, I laid hands on them, they are now pastors. Hallelujah. Missionaries, apostles of God. Hallelujah. So tonight, something will happen. Hallelujah. I'm called to do it. Amen. I'm called to do it. Sit down. Praise God. So we must be open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will move in different ways. There are things that we'll see sometimes. We'll say, I can't really picture this one. Somebody just gets glued on one spot. I say, but how does this glorify God? Does it glorify the devil? I mean, come on, some people are just, they are just armchair critics. Armchair critics, they're not going anywhere. So they don't also want you to go anywhere. Hallelujah. They're not going anywhere. Hallelujah. Me, I'm going somewhere. Me, I'm going somewhere. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, I told you something. I said it at Watching Jazz Conference. This ministry was founded on the Holy Ghost. One of the things that got some of us into ministry was reading after the woman that founded this ministry. Now, she had these wild demonstrations too that was criticized. But you know what? We are in our ministry. Amen. And we are ready. Amen. Hallelujah. So be open to the moving of the Holy Ghost in your ministry. Amen. Amen. A trance is a move of the Holy Ghost. A vision is a move of the Holy Ghost. Rejoicing is a move of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Sometimes, some people just be quiet. It's a move of the Holy Ghost. But either way, yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. Yield to the Holy Ghost. So when hands are laid on you, you could pray. At least, if you don't know anything to do, pray. The deacons were praying. Paul was praying. Acts 13, Paul was praying. You should pray. When John was going to announce Jesus, what was he doing? He was praying. You can pray. You can also rejoice. You can also rejoice. Something can happen to you. Be in a trance. Some will fall under the power of God. It's all in the move of God. So people say, why should we fall under the power of God? And they say stupid things. I said, well, Paul fell. They said he was not a Christian. What does it make? What difference does it make? Whether I was not a Christian or a Christian, was it a demon that made him fall? He says the power of God. Go and sit down somewhere. Hallelujah. I was laid hands on 1994, August. Hands were laid on me. I fell. And that's why I'm teaching the gospel today. You remain standing, eh? Remain standing. You're just there, nothing. You're not going anywhere, not going anywhere. You're just making noise. Hallelujah. Just talking. Just knowing who is right, who is wrong. You are not right, you're not wrong, you're not middle, you're not center, you're not anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm here for something. I'm here for something. Hallelujah. Sit down. So, know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. Know how to yield to the Holy Ghost. A church is full of the Word and full of the Spirit. As we teach the written Word, we give room for the move of the Holy Ghost. For the moving of the Holy Ghost. See, we'll get more men born again if we yield to the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will go beyond the way you reason. Beyond the way you reason. Beyond the way you reason. A meeting we had, we call it Glory, no, what's that meeting? I forgot the meeting. Do not miss meetings. 1995 August. And a lady, she wasn't born again. She just said, as you entered, I just saw fires all over. She said, please get me born again. Somebody we have been trying to get saved for weeks and months. But she saw something. She saw something. Say, please. I said, what's going on? Let me preach. Say, no, don't preach first. Get me born again first. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. In our nation, in our city, in our churches, hallelujah, we are open to the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We are open to wildfire. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. The wildfire. Sit down. Amen. So when hands are laid on you, keep prayed up. Amen. Now, don't worry. I'll get to everyone. Amen. I'll get to everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I got to everyone. Amen. So just keep praying up. Now, as a believer, you don't watch. You don't say, what's going on there? No. You just receive. And when I'm in church, maybe you have observed, I don't really bother myself. I'm just focused on the meeting. I'm just focused on the meeting. Because 30 seconds of lapsing concentration can mean a lot. Some of us missed in 30 seconds what we're not looking for in 5 years. 30 seconds. 5 years. I told you, I was going for a meeting in Tulsa. Now, why do I go for meetings in Tulsa? Because I am from Tulsa. Hallelujah. Whatever I am is from Tulsa. If you don't like Tulsa, go anywhere you like. You can come to Abeokuta. Hallelujah. But you know the truth is, I was that day, I was tired. I felt like, don't go to the meeting straight. Go and rest first. You know you are tired. I was telling him, you know you are tired. And I came all the way from Nigeria. I said, you know you are tired. You know you are tired. I just go and sleep. Just go and rest. You get the tape. You get the tape. You get the tape. You get the tape. You know the devil has a way of preaching to you. You get the tape. I said, how will I come all the way? And then I'll go and get the tape. I said, let me go like that. I got to the meeting almost grudgingly. Dropped my bag. That thing happened so frequently that as I got to the meeting and the preacher was preaching and called out a pastor from Nigeria. Now, the truth is that if I didn't go, I would not have known what happened. And years down the line, I may be looking for what happened. You get it? I'll be looking for what happened. What happened when I did not go. And now I won't be aware. Oh. Hallelujah. Imagine if on the day of Pentecost you went for a wedding. My support of the Lamb. Why did you have to go for that one? Imagine on the day of Pentecost, that was when they decided, let me rest. Let me rest what? This one will happen once. That experience happened just once. It became a pattern. Even if you got filled with the Holy Ghost later, you were not in that one. You were not there. So, learn to reverence the things of the Spirit. Now, I say this often. What you are not sure of in God's word, never criticize. Just keep quiet. Just say, well, I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know. Don't say it's of the devil. Don't be stupid. Just say, well, I don't know. Now, there are things you will know from God's word and say, this is not correct. I mean, you should be discerning enough to know what is right and wrong. But I'm saying some things you just don't know it. Just say, I don't know it. Hallelujah. Because there are diverse moving of the Holy Ghost. Oh yeah, they are. And we are open for them. We are open to them. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's pray in tongues. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.